This is an invitation to spend 15 minutes with the Bible. This is the sixth program in this series. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher for the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is between McMinnville and Biola, just across from the Mount Zion Road, and all are welcome to all of our services. If you have your Bible near, you may want to get that and turn with me to Matthew chapter 16, where we'll begin reading in verse 13, and we'll be discussing the seven verses from Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 19. If you're driving or don't have your Bible with you at this time, you can just listen as I read this passage to you. I've discussed this last week, and I'm going to give a little bit of review of some things that we had said. Here's how the passage begins. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi. This was not the Caesarea on the seacoast, but this is the borderlands of the Caesarea Philippi that was north of the Sea of Galilee. It's on a rocky terrace on the southern slope of Mount Hermon, and it is one of the sources of the Jordan River. And while Jesus is there, he asks his disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Now, Jesus knew who he was. He called himself the Son of Man because he's in the flesh, but he knew he was the Son of God. But he's interested in what we think about him. And the answers were many. They said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, or others, and or Jeremias, or one of the prophets." And that is so often the case when we ask religious questions. Men can give you many answers, many diverse answers. And a lot of times when it comes to religious questions, people are simply telling you what they think. But how do we know what the right answer is? Well, we read a little further that Peter is going to say, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Now notice this. Peter had the right answer. There's only one right answer. When it can't be John the Baptist and Elias and Jeremiah and the Messiah, because those men were not the Messiah, and they were distinguished one from another. Men give many answers to religious questions. But to find the right answer, we need to find what is revealed from heaven. There's a principle here that is important for us to note. The Bible is a revelation from heaven. If we want to know the right answer to our religious questions, we need to consult what God has revealed to us in the Bible. Don't just depend on what men think, and you may not even ought to maybe ask the question, "What do you think?" Or "What do I think?" Or "What does our preacher think?" But let's say, "What does the Bible say?" Many answers come from men. The one right answer to our religious questions come from God. And so, Jesus went on, Simon Peter answered, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," identifying Jesus as that Messiah that was promised. And Jesus said unto him, "Blessed art thou," verse 17, Matthew 16, 17, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." This is the first time that we read that word that is translated church in the New Testament. And we'll be getting to that in just a moment. But I want you to notice here where he said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Jesus had given Simon the nickname Peter, and sometimes called Cephas. And the word simply means a stone. Now think about a stone that you can pick up and hold in your hand. That's the kind of stone Peter was. Sort of a rocky character, but Peter had a lot of potential. And so there's things about the characteristics of Peter that you could say, Peter, you are a stone. But then he said, upon this rock, I will build my church. He's using a different word here. There's the word stone and the word rock. And the word rock here is a word in the Greek, and that's what Matthew is translated out of, the Greek. The stone may refer to a rock you can hold in your hand. But the rock Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, he's talking about a foundation slab. It would be suitable for a good foundation. And so there's a difference. Now someone will say, well, you can't really say that there's a difference there, because Jesus probably spoke in Aramaic, and in Aramaic there's simply the one word both for the stone and for the foundation slab. Well, we don't know that Jesus spoke in Aramaic on this occasion. Some suppose that he did, but what we have in the account from Matthew is not in Aramaic. It is in the Greek, and in the Greek there are two different words, and that's what we've got to go by. And even if Jesus did speak in the Aramaic, even if he had used the same word, both for the stone for Peter and the rock for the foundation slab of the church, there's other ways to indicate the difference than simply by the words. We were not there, and Matthew was. It could have been something Jesus did. Perhaps Jesus is holding a stone and tosses it to Peter, "Thou art Peter," and then stamps his foot on the foundation slab upon which he is standing and says, "Upon this rock I'll build my church." Jesus is not equating Peter with the rock. He's making a contrast. Now, he could have done it some other way, but Matthew, who is there, is telling us this, and he uses two different words. There's the stone for Peter and the rock for the foundation slab. And we know that the church was not built upon Peter. It tells us in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11, Paul writes, "Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So the foundation is not Peter. The foundation is the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We read in Ephesians 2 and verse 20 that we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ, Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now this foundation of the apostles and prophets, it's not that the apostles and prophets were the foundation. It's the foundation of what they are teaching. What the apostles and prophets are teaching is the foundation, and they're teaching us that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And we know that by the context of Ephesians 2 and verse 20, because he says Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. I used to read that and think maybe he's using a little different illustration here, moving from the foundation to the cornerstone. You know, the cornerstone is the first stone that is laid in the erection of a building. Back in the old days of construction, you'd set the cornerstone, and all the other stones conform to the cornerstone. And so also Jesus is that chief cornerstone. And all the other stones that come to his building, that is all of us who come to him to be part of his church, are to conform to the chief cornerstone. We're not to get Jesus to conform to us or to make his teachings fit us, but whether we are to live in such a way that conform to his teachings. So Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. But there's not a distinction here in this passage between the foundation and the cornerstone. I invite you to consider a prophecy back in Isaiah chapter 28 in verse 16. And listen to this and notice what he says about the cornerstone and the foundation. Here it is, Isaiah 28 and verse 16, "Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Why, the cornerstone is considered part of that foundation. And so all other stones conform to that. And we're not all to conform to Peter. He says, blessed art thou, Peter. He has said, blessed art thou, here's what he said, Simon Bar-Jonah. Now, that word Bar means son of. He says, Simon, you're the son of a Jonah. Jonah is another man. He is another man of flesh and blood. It wasn't Jonah or any other man that had revealed the truth to Peter that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonah. But I am the Christ, the Son of God. And that's what Peter confessed. That is that foundation stone. You see, some have tried to say that because the church is built on Peter instead of that foundation stone, well, that would make Peter the Pope. And so the church is built on the Pope. That is so far from anything we read about in Scripture. We never read about Peter being a Pope in Scripture. In fact, you don't even read about a Pope. And even if you did, we'd know that Peter is not qualified to be the Pope. It says in Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 and 15, that when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. Peter had a mother-in-law. Now, the Pope is not supposed to be married, but that's how you get a mother-in-law, is when you get married. We read another account that is interesting where Peter didn't act like a Pope. It's in Acts chapter 10, verses 25 and 26, when Jesus comes into the household of Cornelius. It says, as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up. I myself also am a man. Why, you've not ever heard the Pope say something like that. People all over the world, when the Pope comes in, will fall down to worship that Pope and to do him honor. And if Peter, he didn't say, bless you, my child, when Cornelius did that. He just claimed he was not to be worshipped. He's just like any other man. And so he didn't take any special honors unto himself. He certainly never called himself the vicar of Christ. But we read something else about Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1, this is an epistle that Peter wrote. And Peter said in 1 Peter 5, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder. He didn't say he was the Pope. He said he was an elder. He was an apostle of Jesus Christ, but he was also an elder in the Lord's church and an elder among elders. And we know then that if he was an elder, he could not have been a pope. There's elders. For a man to be appointed as an elder in the Lord's church, he has to meet certain qualifications. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, this is a true saying. If a man desires the office of a bishop, now that's an elder, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless. Now watch. The husband of one wife. Well, that would eliminate Peter from being a pope because he was the husband of one wife. And he had a mother-in-law. And he told men not to bow down before him. You know, we do ourselves a disservice when we try to take the things we believe and then find justifications for them in the Scripture. And that's done sometime with this idea of Peter being a pope. They're trying to read back into the Bible what they believe instead of taking from the Bible what they ought to believe. The church is not built upon Peter. The church is built upon the truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. This has been 15 Minutes with the Bible. I am Bill Boyd. You may email me or text me at wmhboyd@aol.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.